flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that thing is very warm.
Yeah.
It's very warm now. I think it feels good. Too hot, huh?
Public yes. Comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board or council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name. For the record, if any member of the board council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board council by majority vote. We need a roll call. Michelle French.
Dennis Lovell.
Bobby Fitzgibbons, chair.
Mike McGroarty.
Curtis Alexander.
Okay. Approval for the minutes for September the 1st. Do we have them?
We don't. I'm having problems with the minutes. We'll get it
straightened out. And we'll put that over to the next meeting. All right. Approval of the agenda for December the 1st, 2016, and hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action.
My understanding that the planning and zoning matter is off tonight?
Yes, item number 9 has been withdrawn.
Okay.
Or deleted from the agenda.
Do you know why?
They withdrew it completely. They are interested for 3 minutes any longer.
They knew that you would be here with your camera.
What was item 9?
The helipad.
Oh. The helipad.
So are they going in front of the county commission? I know I'm out of order, I'm sorry.
No, it's been withdrawn
completely.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to put an airport instead.
Okay.
Old Town International.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, we'll receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns, as well as winter alliance plans.
Madam Chair, I think you got a.
Did you vote on the agenda?
I'm sorry. We need a vote for the agenda. Hello.
As amended, I would move. So we accept it.
All those approved?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, then. All right, that's fine. Sorry.
No, Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Please.
Okay, Matt. Now it's your turn.
You're the Winter Alliance?
I am the Winter Alliance.
But delayed. We're going to still have the whipping, but delayed.
Hello, everybody. Matt Marlowe, Sergeant for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, resident area. Over the last month, we've had a total of 45 calls between Kyle Kane all the way to Indian Springs. 34 of those mainly occurring in the Indian Springs area. Of those, we've written citations, a total of 24. 18 of them mostly are speeding. And 17 of those were in the Kyle Canyon, Lee Canyon area. The rest of them were in Indian Springs as well. I'll give you a little update about some of the stuff that we've been going on. If you have any particular questions about calls that we've handled, I'll give you a chance to ask those in just a moment. I want to talk about the Winter Alliance and things that we've put together and we're working on. Starting next week, I'm adjusting one of my guys' schedules so that we have better coverage for the 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. zone. When folks start coming up for the snow, that seems like the busier time, so I've got an extra body up here.
Thank you.
We're adjusting as far as the no parking signs along Kyle Canyon and so forth. We plan on enforcing that. It's no parking from, what is it, December to March, right? So that's the plan, is to keep that clear, keep the entrances to the neighborhoods clear for emergency services. And of course, we've involved the MVPs and all that. Lauren speak on that whole issue there. But as far as Kyle Canyon goes, I think it'll probably be a lot like last year. I'm guessing, just from talking to my guys, but a little more. Just involving with being a little better with the enforcement of the no parking along the roadways there. We're going to help out, obviously, on the Lee Canyon side too, but I'll let Sergeant Higgins speak more to the Lee Canyon side. Does anybody have any questions of me, reference calls, Winter Alliance, or otherwise? Yes, sir.
Otherwise, did you say you're a resident? You live up here?
I'm a resident sergeant. I don't live here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Do we have any felonies or anything more than a traffic citation?
No felonies. We had one arrest for domestic violence in Old Town.
That was you.
We conducted a legal 2000, which is someone that's not fit to take care of themselves, or they're kind of, you know, they're endangered themselves or others.
That would be that more fitting than domestic.
The initials on the subject was CA. So. Okay, we really didn't have that call, but I thought it was. No, we had the domestic violence is the only arrest actually you've had. We've had some stuff out of Indian Springs actually, but as far as Kyle Canyon, Lee Canyon goes, one domestic violence for misdemeanor domestic violence call. Yes, sir.
Just a rumor I need clarification on. Did somebody kill themselves in a house on Rainbow Canyon Boulevard? And did you respond? Or is that just a vicious rumor?
Within the last month?
Yeah, the last 2 months.
2 months.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they had 2 Akitas that went to California, came over here, and then went back again. That's all I know.
I'll let somebody that has knowledge of it speak on it. I've been gone hunting a lot. So
the next question.
I don't have.
Yeah,
the
next
did
you get an elk?
Did you get
an elk? I have 2 bucks and half a bowl of elk in the freezer.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay,
there you go.
Party at your house?
So Metro didn't respond.
I don't know if that's true. I'm sure they probably did.
Yeah.
I don't personally have knowledge. I've got 6 other guys that work up here. When I'm on vacation, they handle business. So,
Dave, you know the rumor?
Yeah, there was a call. Metro didn't respond.
Okay.
And
sorry, I don't have more on that for you.
So did 853, so did Station 81, Full House.
Anything else I can't answer?
Yes, any news on the deer massacre there?
So there is possibly a little information on an individual they're looking for.
Tim Wheeler.
An individual that was over in the Cold Creek area. Our department is on the lookout for that individual. I don't want to put out anything right at this point because nothing's confirmed there. So they have a little bit, they believe, or at least a person of interest, and they're looking to identify that individual.
Where exactly did that take place?
It's all over in the Cold Creek area.
Yeah.
Right off the Kellens over there in that area.
All right.
Up Wheeler Pass.
Was there any in Lee Canyon? No. Mm-hmm. Because I found I should say Lida found some deer legs that were actually sawn, not, you know, usually when she brings them to me, they're kind of torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of strange, and that was near the Whispering Pines subdivision.
Sounds like somebody actually took a lot of the meat with them on that instance then, because they didn't want to get rid of the lower portion there. These
right.
ones here were just the prime cuts, so like the back straps and just the antlers were taken.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have taken the time to saw the legs off, they would have taken the upper quarters, which is, it's legal obviously to do that.
And
my knowledge, there wasn't any poaching in the Lee Canyon side.
And is it now rifle season or is that over?
It's over.
Rifle season?
It's over.
And so every
it's over.
All of the tags are over?
30th of November was all gone.
Okay.
Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Receive a report from the Mount Charleston Fire District recalling calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
George Gonzalez, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District.
Dave Martin, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District.
We have a total of 11 calls for service for the last reporting period. We're fully staffed. Our plan for the winter holiday break, which starts from December 17 to January 2nd, is to have extra staffing provided by Medic West. We will have two Medic West units available during the weekends. One at station Lee Canyon at the ski resort, and the other one stationed in Kyle Canyon. During the weekday, will be one unit staffed in Lee Canyon. I'm also planning on shifting around our third firefighter or third fire captain that's going to be working during the weekends on Friday through Monday from 7 to 5 p.m. afternoon, which is our busiest time up here. I'm also planning also bringing some extra staffing as we need it to staff extra equipment as we have the need for it. As far as volunteer staffing, I'll let Chief Martin talk about it.
We also have a new firefighter.
We do have a new firefighter. Thanks for reminding me. Matt Kester was a seasonal in Lee Canyon. He's now our full-time firefighter in C-Shift, working with Captain Gus Marotti. He's going through a process right now, getting some training, orientation. So if you see him around, please say hi to him.
Got two new out-of-district volunteers, both are paramedics with Medic West. They're kind of working through the process right now, getting lined up so they can run at the paramedic level up here. And in the meantime, they'll be running as advanced EMTs. Super highly qualified and experienced, so we're glad to have them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, receive a report from Las Vegas Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Mike couldn't make it today, but he sent me an email. The system is still stable, but in the concern operating range. Echo 3 is out of service, the well Echo 3, for wellhead maintenance, so that'll be off for a little while. Shouldn't have any issues with the water supply at all. Other than that, everything is operating good. Yes.
Was that what that steel plate at the bottom of Spruce and Echo Road was all about?
They're also replacing some valves that were leaking by. And they were doing their maintenance on a valve. They have a valve program where they operate the valves, make sure they shut off. A couple of the valves were leaking, so they're digging those up, and we'll either be replacing them or repairing them.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, we'll go on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, receive a report from Metro Volunteer Program regarding member activities and events as well as Winter Alliance plans. Lauren?
Allison, Metro Volunteer. We have a few things that we've been working with Matt on getting in place. One of the things that we're looking at doing is assisting with parking ticket citations. So they'll actually have those written out because we can't sign them, of course. So we're working with them on having them pre-filled in, and they'll be in the area, and we'll be able to. It should help a lot with getting more people cited. So,
do we have anybody in Lee Canyon to do that?
We're not going to be working in Lee Canyon, as far as I know, because we have to really be around where they are. So they're not going to be in Lee Canyon.
Really?
They're all in the Meadow. What do you mean?
No Metro presence.
You don't have any volunteers.
Yeah, no Metro presence in Lee Canyon at all.
No.
Doing more
volunteers
on Lee Canyon, from what I understand.
She said they have to be around the Metro section
for us to write tickets.
Okay, I'm trying to understand the whole thing.
Because we have to be. If someone gives us any confrontation or anything, we have to be where Metro can be around us and get.
Right, and that's why I'm asking. So there's no Metro presence in Lee Canyon.
Listen, your question time to me is over.
And I'm not saying that they're not going to be in the canyon.
No, I understand what she's saying.
And his freezer is full.
Can't be around, yeah. Be around the Metro sergeant.
No, we have to run a Metro office.
We'll
be in the area in which we're working.
Primary focus for Lee Canyon is going to be Cal Canyon for the citations along these roads here. We'll be over in Lee Canyon as well. I'm not asking all the MVPs to run over there. Does that make sense? There'll be Metro presence in Lee Canyon.
Okay, thank you. We're so glad of that.
Yes,
we didn't get a deer this year because he got sick, so I need some meat.
They had about 40 or 50 in my yard. But they're our pets.
You say pet or pit?
Pets. No.
Pets.
Pets. No.
They're pets. Free tag.
Any other questions for Lauren?
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyway,
but wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there is. It was a guilty knife, if you like it, at the very end.
Two for one.
So, anyway, so we're hoping that that will really help alleviate some of the problems on Kyle Canyon, anyway. We're also being Matt and whoever, NHP, Glenn, and we're hoping to be able to help them with the chain up areas as well. Matt's, we've gotten all that cleared so we can help them do that kind of stuff. We're also going to be doing the accidents, call outs, and stuff for the fire department. So we're pretty much we don't have our lights yet. We have about half of our gear, which is enough to get us started right now. So at our next meeting on the 13th of December, we're actually going to be talking about the scheduling, who's going to be here for the holidays and that sort of thing, so we can kind of get things set up with Matt and who's going to be working then. So we have a whole lot of stuff that we're actually going to be hoping to get started this year. The MVPs are also going to be, also on December 13th, we are going to be providing Lundy School with whistles for the children. So we had an incident, I don't remember how long ago, about 6 months or something, where some kids had gotten lost. They were actually kind of lost. they'd ended up kind of up the hill up there. And Donna Thompson, one of our MVPs, had a really good idea that she'd like to have the MVPs give them all whistles that they can attach to their backpacks, actually. And we talked to Ms. Harpster at the school, and she's very excited about it. And Metro, actually, Ralph is going to go down on the 13th and hold a presentation for the kids about what to do and why we're doing it and that sort of thing. So I'm excited about that. So. And we only have 11 MVPs, which all 11 MVPs do a lot of work up here. But with what we're having, we're really trying to do with getting the accidents, running with George and his crew for accidents and all the snow things that we're trying to implement. We would really like some more people to apply and be an MVP. So it takes a while to get through the backgrounds because we have to go through backgrounds, but it's pretty much just a waiting process and then you're in. So provided there's nothing in your back. So anyway, we'd really like to encourage you guys to, whoever can, to be an MVP because we need some more people for the things that we're trying to implement. Anything for me?
Okay, thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Okay, receive a report from the Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns as well as the Winter Alliance Plan.
Okay, Sergeant Tom Higgins from Nevada Highway Patrol. So I've been working with Matt and the other agencies up here with the Winter Alliance trying to find what we do. We all know every year it gets very crowded up here, so anything and everything we can do to get things to move smoothly. One of the obstacles that I've been trying to overcome is lack of staffing. We've had a lot of people transfer, retire, and Highway Patrol statewide is probably only about 75% staffing. Through the summer months, I've had four officers. It's been all I've had for this area. And that encompasses all the way up into Nye County to the 160 turnoff and through the Indian Springs, this area as well. So that pretty much gives me one person per shift is what it's been given in the past. On November 29th, I got my two more positions filled for the winter. Speaking with the command, I do have six officers now, so Matt and I pretty much, I believe we both have, you have six officers and the sergeant as well, so we're pretty much the same on staffing, and we're doing what we can to work together and get these areas covered as best as possible. One thing that we've always done is a gentleman's agreement between Metro and us, like the accidents during these peak times. Matt and his guys with Metro handle the side here on the 157, and we handle the 156 side. By law, and technically, the state route is all supposed to be all their accident scenes, but for us to be balancing with all these crowds from one side to the other, we do what we can to help each other out. Same thing, if there's any calls for crimes, disturbances, houses, or problems over there at the ski resort, my officers for the Highway Patrol will handle on that site without one of his guys have to go over there. That's not to say that we're not going to be here and they're not going to be there, but we're going to try to keep communicating with each other and try to get services the best we can for the winter events. The two officers I picked up starting in for the December through my March time frame, they're going to be working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mondays are actually work shifts for our peak hours. All the people are here. They're going to be on from 8 to 1800 for the same peak. times that people come up to the ski resorts, people coming up to visit, stuff like that. So during all the weekends and holidays, I'll have an extra body on to help the other ones here. So I used to have two people on, sometimes three people on, trooper-wise, during the peak hours of the day, depending on the time it goes. I've also rolled back the hours for my swing shift guys that were normally working noon to 10 to work 10 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock, also with the kind of a conjunction with the other, and then we'd handle call outs from ourselves or call outs from town units from Las Vegas also come up to assist. So we've been working with the hours and the people we have on that. Main problems we have up here, of course, is the infrastructure with not enough places for people to park, and they're all coming to get here, and we're working with what we can. So.
Good.
Activity wise, the arrests that we've been making, mostly been all warrant arrest, I've had a DUI arrest, a few different things like that within these areas between here and Indian Springs as well. So we've had over the last month. But, otherwise, it's been relatively quiet, and not going to wait to see it that way. But we're looking forward to the activities that will start commencing here on the 9th when they open the ski resort.
Yeah, they're
on the 9th. And same thing. I've been working with the ski resort to see about helping the traffic flow easier through the traffic circles and get the people in and out of the area like we did last year as well. Trying to work with the plans to keep things going as smooth as possible and going from there. So.
Okay.
Any questions for Highway Patrol?
Do you have a database that says what percentage of the people that go up to ski go up the Lee Canyon side as opposed to coming up Kyle Canyon and then over Deer Creek?
We don't have a database, but one thing that's been identified numerous times is all the visitors and most people coming up here, their GPS and their directions and their cars and people that have the rental stuff, it directs them to come up this way and make the turn because that's the most or the closest route. And we have a lot of confusion with people even when we're trying to help egress and get them off the mountain. I got the guys stationed right through the junction of 158 and 156. As they're coming down, we're telling them to stay straight and go back down 95 that way. And they're all arguing they're going to get lost. Well, you can't get lost. You just so we try to get them back down.
So there's a sign on 95 that says ski area that way, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and also there's a big sign that confuses them the most. It says Snow Mountain. It's both words they're looking for, and they end up getting stuck in the dirt on the Indian reservation.
I had people in neighborhoods that are saying, I'm lost. How do I get down? I'm like, go down. If the road goes up, don't take it.
True. But yeah, we're doing what we can. We're working so with DOT, we're working with Forest Service, everyone like that. They're called the DMS boards, the big electronic board at the bottom. We got notifications going on during the peak travel times. I'll call, or Glenn will call, and the messages we have pre-programmed to advise of major traffic congestions on mountains and stuff. We have it set up all the way back on the Rainbow Curve on 95, so there's actually three electronic signboards coming where most of the people are coming from that they can see major traffic congestion. A lot of the problems we've seen every year is people have reservations to go to tubing at the ski resort at 2 o'clock and they want to leave their hotel and a strip at 1 o'clock and be right there at 2 and
yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
And as the traffic that they start running into about Durango will show them, it's going to be a while to get up. But, and even, like I said, we got all the signs saying ski resort, like you're saying at the bottom, but everyone wants to turn up 157. They'll even go past the line of traffic, make the illegal U-turns in the center median of the highway. We get a lot of accidents that way, and then get into the gridlock coming up this way instead of just going down and making the other left turn and come up the top because they just don't know. They can't read the signs. We're getting a lot more foreign tourists. We're seeing a lot of people here from Brazil. A lot more of that's happening because it's summertime in Brazil when it's winter here and they want to have a white Christmas. So we get a lot of people from places that want to see snow and they never come up. Enforce. So. Mm.
No secret virus up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Well, thank you, Tom.
All right.
Okay, next is a receiver report from the United States Forest Service. Don? Glad to see you're back.
Well,
are your phones working now?
Nope. For those of you who don't know, our phones have been out since like last Wednesday. So mm-hmm. You can call and it'll ring and ring and ring.
Yes.
Sometimes it sends you to the fax machine sounds. We don't always know that it's ringing. So when we happen to see or look up at our phone, oh, there's something coming in. We'll pick it up. It's all computerized, voice over IP from someplace in who knows where, somewhere in the country. We're not the only ones experiencing it. There's several offices in Region 4 as well as Southern California, so it's real sporadic. They have not been able to give us a time frame on when it might be fixed. So just be patient with us. It's not a burden or you. Send us an email. At least that's working. I just got back from North Carolina. I spent 12 days back there working on fires in those communities. And we currently have an engine in an interagency crew that's back there. One of our engines was on the IA response to the Gatlinburg community disaster. So it just kind of speaks to that being prepared and not ever knowing when it might strike. You know, we had 70 mile an hour winds here on the October fire. You know, and it stayed put, but it just as easily could have done what's happened back there. Mm-hmm. And so we did declare the lost fire out, so it is now out as of Tuesday.
Yay.
You know, thanks to Mother Nature, and yeah. Appreciate everybody's patience and understanding with having a little smoke in your backyard. But those things sometimes have to be dealt with. You know, we had a lot of fires in the southeast where we didn't have firefighters going in and putting light all the way around it. It just wasn't safe. Conditions were not such that you could get into this, some of the wilderness fires. So we have that same issues here. So you might anticipate we're going to be doing some prescribed fire burning between the middle of December and March in Kyle Hello Spot. We'll be doing some pile burning in there, bringing in some of the slash piles that came out of the NDOT project. Mahogany Grove Campground, there's some slash piles in there left over from some of the our construction projects, mm-hmm. as well as over in Lee Canyon at the Borrow Pit. So those are already approved, and as soon as the conditions are right, we could be sending out notices and saying, just to dissipate some smoke in the air related to that. We will be doing the Deer Creek piles as well, but that will be later in the winter, probably more like February or March, when the ground conditions are more suitable to lack of spread. Let's see. We've already closed Mary Jane parking area for the winter. We'll also be closing off Trail Canyon parking area. For those of you who saw the disaster last year, probably previous years, where it becomes a demolition derby. You know, people keep turning in and everybody's trying to run for cover while they're trying to push their cars out. So we'll be working with NDOT to put the concrete barriers across the two entrances, and that will be closed for the winter, probably within the next week or so. What that also means is less parking, you know, available to people, but it'll be safer as far as that goes. The Harris Spring gates are repaired at both the top and the bottom. We're finally able to get that accomplished. So to keep people out of an area where we're trying to restore, we have the Harris Springs Watershed Project that's the result of the Carpenter One fire, and so a lot of the restoration work will be going on this winter and all next spring and summer. Dan still here? No. Lee Canyon ski area, we approved their permit to operate the Forest Service facilities on the Lee Canyon side, so similar to last year, they'll be managing Foxtail, Old Mill, and McWilliams. The major change in that is there won't be any overnight camping in McWilliams this year.
Okay. Thank you.
So there'll be day use only in those sites. The visitor center, for those of you who didn't notice, we did close it on Thanksgiving Day. Based on past attendance, I think we had 20 people last year come through, and so we determined it probably wasn't worthwhile to keep it open on Thanksgiving Day, and it'll probably be closed Christmas Day as well. That's just part of being financially, you know, responsible and things like that, and knowing that most of the people who come up during the winter aren't coming up to the visitor center, they're coming up to play in the snow. We do have additional Forest Service recreation staff this year that we'll be having out there. We've held over our firefighters to assist us in additional staffing. With the continuing resolution on the federal government side, there isn't funding to bring in the law enforcement officers we had last year. So we're supplementing with our rec staff and firefighters to provide more presence in primarily Lee Meadows and some other recreation areas on the forest, but we won't have law enforcement increased presence.
And what hours are they working?
I'm going to say 8 to 5, give or take. They're usually gone.
8 to 5.
Yeah, they're usually off the mountain by dark. We are going to be providing Forest Service radios to the Nevada Highway Patrol as well as Metro and South Charleston. Just because we know of the communication on the mountain is always difficult. Their radios don't always work with our repeaters. Our radios don't always work with their systems. So we're gathering up extra radios and going to distribute them just to help improve communication. Hopefully we'll never have to use it, but it's available if we need to. The communication plan between Metro, the Forest Service, and the county public affairs staff, they've put together a very comprehensive communication plan to get information out to the public about how to recreate in the forest and the traffic issues, being prepared, etc. A difference this year than last year, we've been able to really link up with Telemundo and some of the radio stations to get messages out in Spanish. About 40% of our forest users are Hispanic, and it's a group that we need to continually try and reach out and have them be better prepared. It's very hard when I see people come up with flip-flops and shorts, and ball tires, and everybody has to deal with responding to their needs. So, other than that, that's probably the end of my report for now.
Hi, Brian Johnson, 4929 Jack Frost Road, Pepper Subdivision. I had a couple of questions. During the meeting before the last one, it was mentioned that signs were being ordered and the first ones would be placed sometime in wintertime, mentioning no campfires permitted. I was just curious as to what the progress is on that.
We did put up some campfires, but the fire restrictions are all lifted now. For the winter, so there are campfires allowed in some areas, but
no, I'm talking about the signs that say, we had talked about maybe placing signs in at each major trailhead saying no campfires allowed.
Okay. And well, there's a limitation on the distance that you can have campfires. So if you put a campfire, no campfires at a trailhead, that only applies for a certain distance within that distance.
Okay.
And so we're working with our prevention staff to make sure that the signage matches what the regulations are.
Okay.
And so, but with Mary Jane being closed and Cathedral Rock is closed as well, we'll be getting this. It doesn't make sense to put up signs in the wintertime and they end up not lasting. So we have the signs available and we'll put them up in the spring when we get into that time of the year.
I took a hike last week up to the Big Falls area where the burn occurred, and you could see really how the wind, like the trees on South Loop, they burned right up to the crown, all the way. The wind pushed the fire so hard over there in Big Falls, the crowns never burned.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the trunks of the trees that burned, and it went right up the side of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it had been off a couple of degrees, it would have come right down the hill.
Right.
So, would there be some kind of way of temporarily closing during the hiking season access to Mary Jane and Big Fall parking lots when wind is forecast to be very high? I would love to see it closed off permanently, but I know we can't do that. But is there a way of maybe doing temporary closures to the parking lots when it's forecast to be like in the red flag range?
It's difficult to say because then you'd be looking at how do you close off every area in the forest because of wind events. Wind events occur on the mountain all the time. You know, some are seasonal, some are just natural downdraft or updraft winds, whether it's nocturnal or diurnal. So it wouldn't be feasible to go out and close trailheads or trails just because of a wind event. Yeah. Because we don't close a lot of trails for other reasons. Fire season has its restrictions, and educating the public is the best way to to resolve it. Denying people access to the forest isn't the standard practice. Open access and respected access is our approach. And teaching the public and educating the public how to do it properly is the best fashion, not denying people access. Weather happens, and weather is not a reason necessary to close things.
Well, it's just my personal opinion. In that particular location, it is.
This year was unseasonable, and we had 5 fires in a month.
And they were all, for the most part, campfire calls, weren't they?
It's, you know, we know that one was the lost fire up on top. We know that one other one had, was came out of a campfire. The other 3 were undetermined. So, by the, in the southeast, I just dealt, we were dealing with 33 fires within a week and a half.